feisty magic bitches. Welcome to this episode of Magic the Amateuring, the show for magic learners, people returning to the game, and anybody who likes to laugh.
Brought to you by the Earth and its ability to sustain our life.
Brought to you by recording equipment, which allows us to record our voices, because otherwise we'd have to come to your home, talk all about this right while you're there, and do that a bunch more times.
My name is Ben, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts.
Oh.
That's your cue.
That's me. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. Can we try that again? I wasn't ready.
Nope, that was Megan. Also joined by my other co-host, Maria.
Hey, I'm Maria. What's up, you guys? Megan and I learned how to play magic about a year and a half ago, and now we're addicted. We're like two crack addicts in a basement with those rubber bands tied around our arms, but what's being injected into us is magic. I'm going to edit that. That's a heroin addict, not a crack addict.
Also joined by the fourth co-host, the game of Magic, the Gathering itself.
Oh, thank you, Ben. I'm here.
We feel really lucky to have you on the podcast.
Yes.
Wizened old horse.
Thank you.
For everyone who is wondering, Magic the Gathering Incarnate is essentially Mr. Ed.
Put a carrot in my mouth. So, no slower.
Sorry. Sorry if we destroyed that mystery for you.
Today on the show, we've got a real saucy juice fest. Open up and stick a funnel in your mouth, because today we're going to talk about we're doing our set review.
Yes,
of Journey into Nyx.
Journey into Nyx, you
Journey
guys.
Into Nyx set review. All of Journey into Nyx has been spoiled. If you haven't seen it yet, you should probably get online and check it out. If you don't believe in spoilers for Magic, I'm really confused. You're confusing me.
You're missing out on life.
Quit confusing Megan, you guys. She's confused enough.
Super confused.
Oh, God. So I'm going to name my cutest card, everybody. It's a segment you look forward to all year.
Yeah.
All four times a year.
Better than Christmas.
This year, this review, we're going to add the card that most makes Megan go, no, why?
So you can look forward to that four times a year. we've got a lot of great stuff from Journey into Nyx for you coming up.
For the noobs. So this week on For the Noobs, we're gonna talk a little financial advice is finances for Finnish people. This is for you whether you're Finnish or not.
So we actually don't talk about finance a lot in our podcast.
That's true. We just tend to hoard things.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners are independently wealthy, and so
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they don't need advice, especially from a bunch of non-financial advisors like us.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get an email, first of all, asking about card storage. And specifically like trade binders versus keeping your cards in boxes, and what, like, which one are you supposed to do?
It's a little weird, you know, when you start out in Magic, people are always like, hey, do you got any trades? You got trades?
You got trades?
And you're like, what?
I'm not a part of the stock exchange.
How would I know?
I don't invest.
I have stock in like Pepsi. I have a few $100s in Exxon.
Oh, Maria. Wow.
I think to be more welcoming to newer players, instead, people should ask, hey, do you know about trades? Do you know about what trading is?
Do you know what trading is?
Yeah.
By all means, walk up to someone in a Magic store and say, hey, do you know what trading is?
You know about trades?
A lot of players keep a trade binder, which is full of rares and sometimes even uncommons that are being played right now in Standard or in Commander or in Modern, et cetera, et cetera. So it's basically any cards that someone else might be interested in playing in a constructed deck. And then you're able to trade those cards with other players. Maybe if you want to play, you know, Standard or Modern or Commander, and you're looking for cards, then you're able to trade with people so that you guys can both, you know, get what you want.
Being Played Right Now is the name of my romantic comedy screenplay.
Being Played Right Now.
Yeah.
That is a bad title.
That's a really...
It's a working title. It's
okay.
Thank God.
Is it like where a guy gets played by a bunch of girls?
Yeah.
Oh. Cameron Diaz is definitely in it.
Oh, yeah. I hate Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz and Jason Bateman.
Oh my God.
Oh. That doesn't sound
they have
good.
No chemistry. That is no. Zero chemistry.
That sounds like
who does Cameron Diaz have chemistry
neither
with?
One of them no, has chemistry with you, anyone.
Okay, good, good, good. Great movie. Great movie.
So anyways, in terms of what cards you choose to keep in your binder, it can be hard to tell sometimes because obviously there's all the tier one decks, which you can look up, you know, if you look up results for Grand Prix or you look up a result for Star City Games.
That's a lot of looking up.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's what you got to do. If you want to reach for the stars, you got to look up and see them first. Yes, exactly. Find the decks that are being played a lot. And obviously, the cards in those decks are cards that people are looking for. But then there's, you know, you might have some crazy brewers at your store who are looking for some weird rares or some weird uncommons that aren't really being played in the top tier decks right now.
Hey, you got weird trades.
Do you know what a weird trade is?
Probably anybody wants to trade you for, like, Whims of the Fates.
Yes, exactly. So it's usually, if that's something that you're interested in doing, it's probably worthwhile to keep a binder. And, you know, you can just put all your rares from that you've got in there if you want. You can probably take out the real downers like Colossus of Akros.
Nobody is using that shit.
Probably don't want that in there.
Yeah,
Whims of the Fates.
I keep a binder. Like, I don't play Standard, as the listeners may or may not know. Mm-hmm. But I do keep a binder because I sell back my rares and my mythics. And sometimes even my foils. Some people want to foil out their decks to the store where I play so that I get store credit for playing more drafts. So even though I'm not a Standard player, I do keep a binder, and people will ask me for trades, and then I just kind of look at them and I'm like,
if you are trading with people, it's a it's a good idea to go ahead and
oh my God, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. If you are trading with people, it's a good idea to have a website where you can go and look up the prices.
I should start my own website.
Sure.
Yeah. Ben, okay. Go ahead.
Do it.
Anyways, a lot. It's like you can use TCG Player. Again, you can use Star City Games. TCGPlayer.com. StarCityGames.com.
MagicCards.info will display the prices for TCG Player.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you don't want to get rolled.
Exactly. So, and it's very, most people do that when they're putting together trades. You're not going to be making a jerk move if you pull out your phone and compare prices.
If you reference
cards that people are looking to trade.
So Megan, why would you keep your cards in a binder and not just in a box?
Well, I think primarily people keep cards in binders. One, rares, it keeps them in better shape. Boxes, you always have the potential for, like, foils tend to bend a little bit just naturally over time. Binders will keep those foils from bending too much.
And it's easier to carry around, you guys. Jeez.
It's easier to carry around.
Jeez. Humans have found that binders are more aerodynamic than a box.
Yeah.
Also, like, in a box, you're probably using, like, a can of soda as a spacer, and so you don't have to worry.
Yeah, about
binder,
that can
of soda is going to explode.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in terms of all of your commons and uncommons, just a bunch of bulk cards, there's really no need to buy a bunch of binders to put those in. You can just grab a handy box and keep them in there. They make specifically like card storage boxes, which most game stores carry.
For like a buck?
Yeah, they're super cheap.
They're white cardboard, and you can, if you learn how to fold them together, you will achieve peace with the universe. How many rows is too many rows?
How many rows is too many rows in your box?
Because they have these boxes that are like 3 rows, 4 rows, 5 rows.
As many rows I as think, you can lift yeah. once there are cards inside.
But remember, the cards are heavy. I don't recommend 5 rows. 5 rows is a lot.
That seems like a lot of rows.
Is a lot of rows.
The 5-row boxes, when filled, are ridiculously heavy and
yes.
very they hard sag to in store. The middle. They don't like fit in anything else.
Do they fit under a bed?
If you ever have to move and you have like a 5-row box that's full of magic cards, you're going to regret it.
Ben, yeah. you sound like you're talking from experience.
I am talking from experience. Okay. The 4-row boxes are actually fine though.
Yeah.
So if you have a ton, if you're accumulating a ton of magic cards, get a 4-row box or use my patented waterfall method where you have a 4-row box, but you only fill that up when you overflow your 2-row box and you only fill that up when you overflow your single row box. And then you have like a quarter row box that fills up from that. And then and you only fill that up if you have like yep. a playing deck of cards that fills
yep.
up.
Yep.
And that's only if the cards
I can
the
stab
cards
him.
Yep.
Spill you out go of ahead. Your wallet.
Stab, go ahead. Start stab, in your stab, wallet. Stab, stab. You guys, there's a Magic Finance podcast out there.
Yes.
Search the interwebs for those if you're interested in keeping track of the value of cards over time.
Yeah. If you happen to be an SCG premium subscriber, then there's a guy on there who does regular financial value articles, which are also really helpful. Just going back real quick to what Maria said about selling cards. If you're selling in the short term just so you can keep playing at your store, awesome, go for it. If you're looking at trying to hold on to cards, like get rid of cards that are like really high in value right now and sell cards or yeah, get rid of cards. So sell cards that are high in value now and buy cards and hold on to them that are going to go up in value. It's really worthwhile to check out those podcasts because they'll let you know that sort of thing. Like for instance, a lot of cards that are in tier one standard decks right now, especially like Azorius Control, like Sphinx's Revelations, it's a good idea to start selling them right around now because they're going to rotate out in just a couple months. And there's not a ton of modern decks that play that card. So that card is really at like its peak value right now. On the other hand, Thoughtseizes are going to go up in value once Theros stops being the block that's being drafted because a lot fewer of those are going to be opened. So it's worthwhile to, and that's a card that gets played across a ton of formats.
Megan, you invested in some Thoughtseizes, right?
I did invest in some Thoughtseizes. I bought them for like $12 a piece, ma'am.
What are they worth now?
Right now,
I don't think it's a lot right now.
No, it's like depending on the store, 15 to 20. But like for instance, the Lorwyn Thoughtseizes peaked at about $60.
Oh, you guys.
Back when that set rotated out.
I held a Lorwyn Thoughtseize, a Japanese one.
Wow. Was it a life-changing experience?
It was a good moment.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Anyways, so that's something that you can invest in wisely in cards or selling cards, finding the best time to sell a card is something that you can either do pretty loosely, which is what I do. I only know like the big ones. Like Shocklands are cards that are going to go up in value once RTR gets further behind us. Thoughtseize is something that's going to go up. Standard cards that don't get played much or that don't get played in modern and are rotating out are going down in value. So you can do it loosely like that, or you can again look into these podcasts and try and maximize your money off those rares.
Sweet. Have fun, guys, flipping those cards.
Yeah, man.
Flipping a card. Like you get an older card that's kind of crappy, and then you flip it and
you restore it.
And restore
you renovate it.
Yeah.
I think HGTV has a show about that.
Yeah.
Flipping cards.
Foil my deck.
That's MTV's one. Foil
my deck.
It's hosted by what's his name? Some rapper.
Yeah.
I would say at least 2 rappers.
Okay. Everybody, journey into next.
Road trip.
We're going to journey into next with you. Come along. Jump into the back of my 4-door sedan. It's a Subaru.
It's not street legal because I've modified the wheels. They're on stilts now.
Yeah. It's really cool.
The wheels are on stilts?
Yeah, bro.
You've seen a low rider. This is a high rider.
Wow.
Everybody, Journey to Nyx is spoiled and everyone thinks it's super cool.
Oh, there's so many cards.
Look at all of them.
There's a lot of cards.
There's 158 cards.
It's a small set.
I just said a number. Was that the correct number? I think it was.
I don't know.
I think it was pretty close.
We'll find out. So, Journey into Nyx was spoiled. You guys can check out the spoilers and follow along with
165.
Us. 165. Okay.
Got it.
On the internet.
Nailed it.
Some magic shows will tell you what are the good cards from a set. We're not that podcast.
We are not qualified to determine what cards are good.
No, we have no fucking idea. But we do know which cards are the worst cards in Journey into Nyx.
Oh, we've got the straight dope scoop on the worst cards, you guys.
We've got some real, there's some real stinkers in every set.
Oh, and this one's so disappointing.
We sniff them out.
Just
like
for you.
Like a pig hunting for truffles.
Like a bloodhound hunting for, blood.
Yeah, precisely.
Uh-huh. Like a heat-seeker missile in a cold, lonely universe.
Oh, that poor heat-seeking missile is never gonna find what it wants.
It doesn't know all the heat is gone from the universe.
It doesn't know all the heat is gone.
The inevitable heat death. Oh, God. Missile. Anyway.
Sometimes when I want to feel sad, I think about the inevitable heat death of the universe.
When you want to feel sad?
Yeah, let's talk about your sad feeling disease.
What?
Just saying, guys.
Oh, my God. That's so tragic.
Yeah, man. All right.
So we've got some real bad cards in here. We're going to go by color. Some of the worst cards in Journey into Nyx. Let's start with white, because this one I think is a very easy and obvious one. If you listeners know anything about magic, which you should because you listen to the show, come on. The white card that I think is the worst card in Journey into Nyx is Font of Vigor. Font of Vigor.
I have to agree with you there. I was looking through these and I was like, do you know what? There's a lot of very reasonable cards. There's a lot of pretty solid magic cards, and then there's Font of Vigor.
Font of Vigor, enchantment, 2 mana. For 3 mana and sacrifice Font of Vigor, you gain 7 life.
I mean, 7? Only 7? And I spent 5 mana doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And a card in my deck?
Okay, but let's talk about the flavor text.
Ooh.
Drink deep and be restored.
Is that just straight from the Bible?
That's still, you're still spending 1 mana per word in the flavor text.
That's value.
So, yeah. Font of Vigor, pretty bad card, pretty bad card.
Spending a card to just do nothing but gain life is not a good idea.
Pretty miserable. And it's only 7 life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
7 life is not nothing, okay?
7 life is a lot
of life. It's not nothing,
that's
but
a lot
I mean,
of life. How much
I'd rather gain
4
life and have a 4/4 snake for 5 mana.
Okay.
Sure.
I would rather have
There's so many things I would rather do.
I would rather have a 4/5 Battlewise Hoplite.
I'd rather have an omelet at the top of the Eiffel Tower than play this card.
Yeah.
How are you getting a 4/4 Battlewise Hoplite for 5 mana?
I'm getting it for less than 5 mana. I'm getting it for 3 with my Battlewise Hoplite. No, I'm thinking of the 1/2?
Favorite Hoplite.
Favorite Hoplite and an Ordeal of Heliod on it.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
That's what you want for 5 mana?
I want it. No, I'm going to get it for 3 mana.
Okay.
And some attacks.
That is a false comparison. That is bullshit.
I'm just saying. I'd rather have an Ordeal of Heliod.
We all would. Look. We all would.
Hey, man. Ordeal of Heliod does even less than this card if you don't got a creature. Am I right?
Whoa! You're right, technically.
You're right.
Okay, so Font of Vigor is pretty bad. Is there any other bad white cards we want to honorarily mention?
Yeah.
I got one.
Go
Wait,
bad.
Which
go
one
for
you
it.
Got one? I think Mortal Obstinacy.
What does this shit do?
It's like... enchant creature you control. That creature gets +1/+1.
Oh,
also,
yes.
If it deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice mortal obstinacy. Ugh. If you do, destroy target enchantment.
That just seems miserable.
How?
That's pretty sucky.
How? Since when does white have to do all this work just to destroy an enchantment? You know
I know, right? It's kind of supposed to be, I thought it was supposed to be their thing.
I guess maybe if you have a heroic deck and you want some kind of enchantment killer, you're like, well, all right, I'll take this enchantment killer that's also a shitty mortal Zardor.
Yeah, without the lifelink.
All right, so Font of Vigor, hands down,
yeah,
hands worst down. White card.
Yeah,
if you're trying to make a bad white deck, I would start by first picking a Font of Vigor.
And then I would next pick a Moral Obstinacy. That card is also pretty miserable.
Mm.
Do you have any other honorable mentions in white?
No, all of the other white cards are amazing.
Oh
actually.
My god, white seems so good.
Yeah, they're all ridiculous. And everything has double strike. I would ask a judge, because I think a lot of the white cards just have double strike. They didn't even bother to write it on.
They don't even need to put it on the keyword.
It doesn't say it on there.
No, yeah.
But they do just have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just talk about those cranes bringing in those swords for a second?
Are you talking about sword of cranes?
No.
Crane sword?
It's like they're bringing in all those...
Supply line cranes?
Crane drop? Sword drop?
Okay, that's a pretty... Maria, I have to say that for me is a pretty cute card.
It is pretty cute.
Supply line crane's pretty cute.
I'm not saying my cute card decision was easy in this set. It was extremely difficult.
Yeah.
The flavor, I would say the flavor of that card is a little weird.
What is it?
I mean, it's a picture of cranes. They're holding swords. And then a bunch of like upreached hands like, oh, sweet. Our swords are here.
Yeah.
Like, why were they waiting?
And also, this just seems like a dangerous way to supply swords.
Oh my fucking god!
Oh my sword! Oh god, my hand!
My eye! My eye!
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Also, like, what kind, like, do armies, like, are they running out of swords?
Yeah, they plunge them in. They're stuck in the enemy. You can't get that out.
Yeah.
We've been fighting for days and nights. We're all out of swords. If only we had swords, we could fight on.
What about moving on to blue?
Blue.
We got
blue.
Some real stinkers in blue.
Blue's a good color. I can't really imagine there's any bad cards in blue.
Oh, but Ben, you'd be so wrong. You'd be so wrong.
What do you think the worst card is?
Well, I think Thassa's Devourer is... That's a pretty bad card right there.
It's hard to argue with you. What does Thassa's Devourer do?
It is.
It's hard to argue because I don't know what it does.
Oh, it's 4 and a blue.
Okay, for five mana.
5 mana for a 2/6.
Okay.
Yeah. And it has Constellation. Oh, maybe it has an upside. Maybe it has a great upside. It's going to make it worth 5 mana.
Mm.
Whenever Thassa's Devourer or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control... Target player puts the top 2 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
No.
Sick!
So it's a Constellation Miller.
I'm just definitely going to have this card when I have the blue-black god.
Okay, this card would be disgusting with Phoenix. It'd be real solid.
But that's about it.
But it's 5 mana for a 2/6.
Meh. Yeah.
You don't think it's the worst, though, Ben?
Well, you know... Yeah, no.
I mean, it's gonna sit there.
There's only so bad.
It does have
you can get.
Yeah.
For a 5 mana 2/6, that's not terrible.
It does have a 6 butt.
What about Pull from the Deep?
Yeah.
4 mana sorcery. Return up to 1 target instant card and up to 1 target sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. Exile Pull from the Deep.
This is like.
Seems pretty.
It's like divination. But
from your
at
graveyard.
The best.
Yes.
You know exactly you want those two. This is it card.
Mm-hmm.
Or what about the spell Countermand? Counter target spell. Its controller puts the top 4 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
I'm definitely not paying 4 for a counter spell.
You're not paying 4 for a counter spell?
No.
Bro?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how I'm living my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fastest devourer, worst common. I'll say worst blue common.
Okay.
Pull right. from the deep, I think, is the worst uncommon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can agree there. We can agree there.
We can. Let's just agree to agree.
You guys, I'm looking at Hour of Need, and I have to say that's a pretty cute card. It's pretty cute. It's a really big, muscly Sphinx.
You guys, everybody's trying to influence me in my Q's card.
I'm just saying.
I cannot be bought. I can be bought.
You say so.
All right, have we decided on blue then?
Yeah,
blue, I think that's has it. Been finalized.
All right, there black.
That's his devourer. Black cards.
Ooh. You guys, I have cards. To say, in black there are just a shit ton of contenders for the why card. just looking at the page for all of the black cards makes me shudder.
Mm.
The art director for. Specific, there's art directors for all the other colors and then just one for black because that guy is fucking messed up.
Yes. It's just
that he lives in a corner in Wizards of the Coast.
Aesthetic.
Yeah. Nobody goes near him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one card that is permanently disqualified from the worst card in black.
Okay.
This card is insane. Feast of Dreams. It is a 2-mana instant that says destroy target enchanted creature or enchantment creature.
Yeah, yep. that's pretty baller. And it's a common. And it's a common.
You guys, this is a common. Just a little Doomblade.
Oh, boy.
It's a super Doomblade. And it's a Doomblade. It's like, destroy target awesome creature.
Exactly. It's basically saying, destroy target creature that will automatically give you a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
No.
Well, if it's an enchant, I'm talking about like there. You guys, there's a lot of enchantments that aren't creatures, that aren't bestowed creatures.
But there's not all those as many people. That are as that are.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of fearsome tempers and feral invocations running around. Yeah. Prepare to
like,
be
yeah,
two
like
for
two
one.
I suppose fearsome temper, you can get somebody.
Yeah. Man.
Okay, so worst card. Let's see. There's some pretty good bad cards here.
Yeah.
Like 2-1 that can't block. That's a pretty good bad card.
That's just a good card. Come on.
I've got mine in my head.
You know, Font of Return.
All these fonts.
I don't
want to
go back
like
to the
font.
But one's pretty bad. Like this is like, first of all, you're paying, this is 2-mana enchantment. 4-mana sacrifice, Font of Return. Return up to 3 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah.
This is just like slow as butt molasses, you know? It's like squeezing molasses out of your butt so slow.
Yeah.
Aspect of Gorgon, 3-mana aura. Enchant creature, enchanted creature gets +1/+3 and has death touch.
That could be could be fun.
You guys,
I'm not going to put a card in, though.
I don't think it's
you guys, I've got one.
It's a card. What?
Returned Reveler?
Yeah. This is a real bad card.
1 and a black for a 1/3. Because we all know how much we love Citizen Battle Priest. And when Returned Reveler dies, each player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Oh my god, how am I going to deal with that?
So just a 2-mana.
I can't kill it.
You don't know.
I can't kill it.
You can't kill it. You're going to put 3 cards in your
graveyard. Because
it's going to mill 3 cards.
You don't want
to
mill.
No.
And I can't just take 1 every turn for 20 turns.
No, my god. Yeah, it sucks.
Heck no.
You
guys, you're going to be so ready for this pre-release.
Yeah. A good front runner for the worst card. This is a card to avoid. Unless you're into pain.
Another card that's just very, Thought Render Lamia.
What is that?
I don't even know how to say it.
That art is weird.
4 black-black.
Fill in my brain blanks on that card.
Yeah, 4 black-black, so 6-mana for a 5/3. Constellation. Whenever Thought Render Lamia or another enchanted creature enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent discards a card.
Nah.
I'm just saying 6-mana for a 5/3.
I just want to play this in 2-headed giant, so
it's pretty.
6-mana
pretty,
is also pretty late to be like, discard!
Discard! Discard all your cards! And your opponent's like, I've played everything good, so. Whatever, man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
These are pretty bad cards, guys.
Those are pretty bad cards.
Yeah.
Those are pretty bad cards.
I'm glad we're getting this out of the way so people know.
Oh, Ben, you but didn't
I
even...
But I feel like I got a worse one.
What? Oh, I was just about to say, Ben, I can't believe you haven't pointed this one out yet.
Tormented Thoughts. This is 3 mana. Ooh. Now, you guys might be familiar with the card Mind Rot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
3 mana sorcery. It says target player discards 2 cards.
Yeah. Yep.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
That's not...
It's a thing.
Not the worst. Could be better. Could be worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything to affect the board, though. Which is cannot be said about this card.
This card really affects the board, you guys.
Yeah, super hard.
Tormented Thoughts, 3 mana, sorcery. As an additional cost of Tormented Thoughts, sacrifice a creature, good. A lot of my creatures are killing me actively, and I need to get rid of them. Target player discards a number of cards equal to the sacrificed creature's power.
Oh, I'm gonna, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to sacrifice a Returned Reveler to Tormented Thoughts.
You discard 1 card.
Yes,
I'm going to mill you for 3.
Sucker.
I discarded 2, essentially. You know what will be sick, though? If you play a Thought Render Lamia, that's got 5 power, and then you sacrifice it. They discarded 1 when you played it.
Oh, yeah.
And then 5?
Because they still had that many cards somehow?
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe they played Hunter's Prowess.
You know what I want to do, though?
What?
I want to play the 3-mana 5-5 that Master of Feasts.
Oh, Master of the Feasts?
Gives your opponents 1 million cards.
I don't care.
I'm going to let them draw 1 million cards.
I don't care. I love that card.
Then I'm gonna sacrifice it. to make him discard all those cards they drew.
Perfect. Oh man, you guys! So I was looking at Thought Render Lamia, and it's like enchantment creature Lamia, and I was like, what does that even mean? Lamia? How are we gonna say this?
Lamia.
Lamia. Okay.
I'm gonna say Lamia.
I'm gonna
Lamia.
Say
Lamia.
I'm gonna say Labia.
Oh God!
All right, and I was like, oh, so that must be something from Greek mythology, and it sure is.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's ancient Greek mythology.
It was a woman.
Yes. It was a beautiful queen
of suffered from having
Libya.
Sex with Zeus.
Oh, no, that's not what it says.
No.
It was a beautiful queen of Libya who became a child-eating demon.
Why did she become a child-eating demon?
Oh, let's see. Oh, Zeus. Oh, that's right. She's the mistress of Zeus. There you go. And so Hera gets real jealous and decides to kill all of her children and transform her into a monster that hunts and devours other people's children.
Seems about right.
Who is the super petty jealous god in Theros that's turning people into Lemias for their extra fidelity?
I don't know if I call that super petty.
For stealing away someone's husband?
Yeah.
I don't know that you call that petty. But to be fair, Zeus was kind of a player,
so I really think
that she was misplacing the blame in this instance.
Well,
that's true.
It's petty. I think it's petty for a god to do anything to a human, right?
Because you're like, well, who cares?
It's like, I'm going to die in like 5 seconds anyway. Come on.
Yeah, compared to you.
That's true.
So who do you think got pissed and turned a presumably beautiful woman into a shitty 5-3?
Oh, you guys,
Farika?
I feel like it's going to be Farika.
Yeah.
Like, Afara is too nice.
Yeah,
look at
Afara
her. She's
doesn't
so
seem,
sparkly
yeah.
and pretty.
Are you guys just assuming it's a woman?
Oh.
Oh, my God. Our sexism has been called out.
Called out. I think this is clearly the action of a bull. A half bull.
Really? I thought I was going to go with Kronos.
Kronos
is a vengeful
that
motherfucker.
That guy looks vengeful with his lightning.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so mad.
I'm so mad.
Why you cheat on me?
Yeah. Anyways. But I do feel like...
Maria,
this should,
will you please make an altar of a of thought Kronos. Render of Lemia that says,
Why you cheat on me?
Why you cheat on me?
Oh God.
All right.
Red.
It is in the books.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Tormented Thoughts. Worst card.
Very bad. Very bad.
All right. Red cards.
Ooh. Red cards.
Yeah, man.
There's some cards in here that are cards.
Some cards that are here that are good cards.
I mean, you know which card's pretty bad.
Font of Ire.
You know what's worse than a lava axe?
What? A lava axe that you have to pay? That they can
see coming?
Font of Ire, 2 mana. And then 4 mana, sacrifice Font of Ire. Font of Ire deals 5 damage to target player. Any player you want.
Wait. Is it the answer, a lava axe that I can destroy if I need to?
That's it.
That I can decide to either allow to deal me damage or destroy?
Destroy Font of Ire, gain 3 life. Oh, Ray of Disillusion.
That would be awesome. Oh, Ray of Disillusion, so good.
Yeah, I've effectively got my opponent at 15, though, starting life total, right?
Oh, sure. But there's gotta be a worse. Is there a worse one?
I mean, Riddle of Lightning. 3. Ooh. 3 red. Instant. Choose target creature or player. Scry 3. Then reveal the top card of your library. Riddle of Lightning deals damage equal to that card's converted mana cost to that creature or player.
Ugh. Whoa.
That is rolling the dice.
I could do up to 16 damage with this card.
That's true. There are
5 mana.
Yeah, that's true.
really?
But I just think for five mana, how much damage are you really gonna deal?
You're gonna pull 3 lands. That's what's gonna happen.
Probably about two damage.
How bad are you gonna feel on average?
This card is just a risk basket, though.
Exactly.
Like
exactly, and it's like
I want my worst card to be always bad. You know what
risk
I mean?
Basket.
This is just like putting all your risks in one basket. I want a card that I know, like, it's always gonna be shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, Riddle of Lightning. I can't even pick a creature. I can't even reliably pick a creature. What if I pick a 3/3 and then I only scry into a 2 converted mana cost card?
You guys, a risk basket is what I got for Easter this year. Instead of
Maria,
a normal Easter basket.
Don't open it. Maria, just don't open it.
It's got a lot of used needles.
Oh, God.
And like condoms with holes in them.
That doesn't sound like a risk basket. That's just a bad basket.
My parents are really messed up.
All right, Ben, you feel like there's a card that's always going to be bad.
Let's talk about Flame Speaker's Will.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
This just sounds like a mortal's
crappy card all over again.
Well said. This is a 1 mana aura. It's a red card, and you can only enchant creatures you control, so right off the bat, I'm out, because I'm slapping my auras on just anything I see, you know?
yeah.
Enchanted creature gets +1/+1. Okay, Whenever enchanted creature deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice Flamespeaker as well. Good. That's the upside.
Because I want to get this fucking thing. I want to forget I played it.
If you do destroy target artifact, how many artifacts are you trying to destroy, Maria?
None, usually.
Yeah. This card seems pretty bad.
This card seems really bad.
Yeah.
It's a twin to its white one that we named as bad.
Yep, and they're bad twins. They're both the evil twins from The Shining. Mm-hmm. Also pretty bad card.
Mm-hmm.
Also super bad card.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclops of Eternal Fury.
Ugh, yeah.
This is a 6-drop, and it says creatures you control have haste.
At six mana... How many more creatures am I going to be playing this game?
Most importantly, this is a 5/3.
Yes.
So this is a hasty 6-drop that trades with most 3-drops.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I just wish it made my opponents
discard a card. You know what I'm saying? Then it'd be really solid.
Oh, my God.
If only they milled.
I would pay 1 more mana if this also made my opponent discard a card.
7 mana hasty 5/3.
I want an 8 mana hasty 5/3 with flash.
That allows my opponent to discard and mills my opponent for 2. How about that?
How about mills us both for 1?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So bad cards. We got bad red cards. Which one are we going to say is the worst red card?
Oh, God. I think it might just be Flamespeaker's Will.
F- Planeswalker. It's gotta be
targets, but...
It's gotta be Planeswalker. Come on, you bros. Gotta be. Okay. Let's go on to the green cards.
Green.
Green, color not traditionally known for having shitty cards. What about the font? You know what, guys? This font actually seems fine.
Font of Fertility.
Font of Fertility.
Oh. Artist. Who's the artist on this card, Ben?
Jack Wang.
Perfect. Pointed out to us by a listener.
Yes.
Oh, great.
This is a 1-mana font, so I'm liking the price. Mm-hmm. And for 2 mana and sacrifice it, you search your library for a basic land card, put it on the battlefield tap, and shuffle your library. So this is basically a Traveler's Amulet that costs 1 more mana.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think that's fine.
By me. Okay. Fine by me.
It's fine by me, bro. It's not going to make your 1 land hands any good.
I thought Okay, shut up. I thought Dictate of Karametra was not good. It is 3/4/5 mana, and it's a flash enchantment. When a player taps a land for mana, the player will... What am I saying?
Who knows, bros?
The mana produced, you get 2 of whatever.
Doubles your mana.
Doubles your mana. Doubles your fun. Mana.
Doubles everybody's mana. Doubles everybody's fun.
And it costs 5. Like, at 5, like, what? Am I wanting
that
to double?
That card's bad. I think we could do worse.
Am I wanting to double my mana at 5? That's
that
all I'm
saying. That card's bad, but I think we could do worse.
All right, all right.
Mm. How about I introduce you to a card that I like to call Market Festival?
That seems bad.
That seems quite bad.
This is a card, I mean... It's going to ramp you. This card, don't get me wrong, this card's going to ramp you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is 4 mana.
But it's going to ramp me on turn 5. It's going to ramp me by 1 on turn 5.
This is a 4-mana aura and it enchants a land and it makes 2 additional mana of any color. But like, what? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why? What a waste of mana.
Why, bro? Why?
You guys, I've got another stinker for you. Also costs 4 mana.
Real stinker? Is it a real stinker?
It's pretty stinky.
All right.
Desecration Plague.
Rub it down us. What is that?
3 and a green. Sorcery. Destroy target enchantment or land.
Wow.
Do you know what I really wanted? A green Demolish. Because I play red Demolish so much.
That's true.
I mean, you know, they play off those scry lands. You want to get those off the battlefield.
Yeah.
Before they return it to their hand and scry again somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I really want to pay 4 mana to destroy an enchantment when I could pay 3 mana to do that.
Okay. But all
right, it's bad.
Destroying an enchantment, that can't be the worst card.
That can't be the worst card.
Demolish doesn't hit enchantments.
It's pretty stinky.
Renowned Weaver? This is a 1-mana 1/1. For 2 mana, you can turn it into a 1/3 with reach.
Don't care.
I mean...
Do you need a 1/3 with the reach?
No. Not in my green deck, that's for sure.
It's good against Vaporkin.
I don't know.
It's good against
Vaporkin.
It's good against Vaporkin.
Eventually, I'm going to cast my Nessie.
Unless you have anything.
Good against Blood Toll Harpy.
Good against Blood Toll Harpy. Unless, you know, you bestow or use one of 45,000 combat tricks.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean,
It's pretty bad.
It's
pretty bad.
Later on in the game, you can get that Weaver in there for a block and then sack it. As long as their creature doesn't have trample. That's true. Mm. I mean, you know.
Mm.
I'm just saying, for me, it's no market whatchamadoodle.
Market Festival right now is, I'm thinking, is real the worst.
So the upside of this card you're saying is I can chump with it twice?
Exactly, Ben.
How much mana would you pay for 2 chump blocks?
Okay, I got it. What is even better, and by better I mean worse, than a divination?
A divination that draws you 1.
How about a divination that draws you 0?
What?
Crucifix's Insight, 3-mana sorcery, reveal the top 6 cards of your library. Put up to 3 enchantment cards from among them into your hand and the rest of the revealed cards into your graveyard.
What? That's not that bad.
Guys, it's super bad.
I wouldn't play it.
Would you play it?
I would. Yeah, I would play it.
What?
I'm going to say you would not play it more than once. Because once you play it... You're gonna see how bad
and you hit
is.
And you don't hit.
I'm not saying that I would slap it into just any deck, But I could see myself picking up, I'm building a green deck, I pick up this card, and now I'm gonna super prioritize enchantments.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'd try it out. How many in green?
No.
I get to reveal six cards. I don't know, man.
How many I think that there are worse things. Do you have in your deck?
I mean, with this card, I'm going to try for just as many as I can get my little paws in.
How many enchantments?
Six.
How many do you think you need?
Five.
Before this deck is even playable. Well, keeping seven. In mind that divination is already mediocre.
Yeah. All right. I'm just saying it's no market festival.
For this to be...
Still think market festival is worse. If you were like Megan, you have to either play Krufix's Insight or Market Festival. I'm picking the Insight.
Who is giving you this horrible Sophie's Choice?
You realize that you're using Krufix's Insight to draw Market Festival. As you watch all your Nessianass go into your graveyard.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nessianass.
Bye.
I'm going to say, worst card, Krufix's Insight. Hand down, not playable. Get out of my store.
Alright. Well, you guys, how about multicolored? Do we have any multicolored worst cards?
First of all, I want to talk about this card. Ravenous Lucrococata.
I like that card.
4 mana, 2/4 with vigilance. Can we just talk about how depressing that this card is compared to Nessian Asp? It's 1 mana less than Nessian Asp, and it's a 2/4.
It has monstrosity, Ben.
It has the same monstrosity as Nessian Asp.
Sad.
But it's a 2/4.
Hey,
it has vigilance, but it's a 2/4.
But that art is vigilance. Ridiculous.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
Also, the thing is, this card's probably very playable. It's probably very playable, which just is like, wow. How was Nessie Asp ever real?
Yeah, that card is so good.
That card is so good.
Oh,
okay.
I've lost to just Nessie Asp.
Oh, for sure.
Where it's like, oh, I'm winning. Nessie and Asp. I'm sure not winning anymore.
That card is bomb.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about some of the gold cards. What do you think is the worst Celestnia card in the set? The worst green-white card.
A Johnny.
I think it's got to be a Johnny Mentor of Heroes. I mean, his ultimate does not affect the board.
It's also the only Celestnia card.
He doesn't have like a normal minus ability other than the ultimate, and even like his second plus one just has so much text.
I think you just pass him.
I think a Johnny Mentor of Heroes is the worst.
Definitely the worst green white card in this whole
set. Worst green white card in the set.
Worst green white card.
What would you say is the best green white card in the set?
I'd say a Johnny Mentor of Heroes.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. I mean, plus one abilities.
What is the worst green red card, do you guys think?
It's got to be Revel of the Fallen God.
Yeah. I had that in my best category as well.
This is 7 mana. It's too expensive.
It's and so, maybe, super expensive.
And it only makes 4 2/2s with haste. I could see playing this card if it made 5 2/2s with haste.
But four.
Are you being serious right now? Hold up.
No, never.
Hold up. You wouldn't play this card, would you?
No. Well, no.
Meh, no.
Actually, this card, I could see putting this card in a deck with Market Festival.
But you're never going to get the chance to play this card anyway, because it's going to be in your first pack. Well, it might wheel to you if you've decided you're already
you
green
can just
red.
Be like, no.
It seems like this card's gonna go pretty late.
But you guys, what's the best green red card?
I would say Revel of the Fallen God.
Yeah.
Probably Revel of the Fallen God.
I mean, it is 8 power for 7 mana.
It's 8 power. That's like, you know, less
than 8 hasty power.
Yeah. It's a lot of hasty power.
It's a solid.
They're never gonna see it coming.
No, they really won't.
All right. What is the worst is it card? What's the worst is it card?
The Storm Chaser Chimera.
Yeah, this is a 2/3 flyer for 4 mana.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if it were a 5/5 for 3 mana, then yeah. It would be
Do
terrible.
You like this card, Ben?
Actually, I think this card is fine.
Yeah.
I think a 2/3 flyer for 4 is not that bad. And then, like, you can also scry and do random stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's the best? What do you think is the best is it card?
Kronos, God of Storms.
I'm going to say it's Kronos, God of Storms. Kronos. Yeah, probably Kronos, God of Storms. what's the worst? What's the worst Simic card?
Flute, Feather, Cockatrice.
I'm gonna say it's Krufix Got Horizons.
Yeah. Oh wait. Yep. I am gonna have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather have that Cockatrice.
Yeah, that Cockatrice is actually ridiculous.
That Cockatrice is the same price.
Yeah. The same price.
It's the same price. I mean, oh, for five mana.
That can affect, like, the biggest drawback to this Cockatrice is that he does not affect your maximum hand size at all.
It's still
like,
seven.
Your maximum hand size is going to be the same. But I guess if you just play it, then it's like you increased your maximum hand size by one. Because now this card is not in your hand anymore. And it also,
solid logic.
It also gave you an incentive to play out land. Yeah. So that's good. Cool. Yeah. All right, what's the...
We are not doing this for every guild. I swear to God, we are not.
What's the worst artifact? What's the worst artifact?
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
I don't know.
We've got... Here's some contenders. Deserter's Quarters.
Yeah.
This is a 2-mana artifact, and for 6 mana, you can tap down a creature.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's a lot of mana.
It's a lot. It's a but, lot of mana. I mean, you know, if they got a monster, like, hey.
Yeah, it's true.
They spent more than 6 mana on their monster.
Mm-hmm.
Why not spend that much to have it? How about Armory of Erois? This one's got to be bad. This one's got to be a bad card.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just making your own Ferris Band Tromper.
It's like, hey. You know what I? You know what's better than a Ferris Band Tromper for 4 mana?
What?
What?
The ability from a Ferris Band Tromper
for 4 mana.
Yeah.
But Chariot of Victory, that actually seems solid, you guys. I can't.
Oh, you think so?
What does he do?
Can't say too much crap.
It's a 3 mana equipment, and it gives first strike, trample, and haste.
Ah, sure.
And equip is 1.
I like the first strike bit. First strikey bit.
Equip is 1.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Trample is... Trample one. Can be...
I mean, we're bestowing for 6 to give something double strike, which is better, but...
Better. Mm-hmm. But double strike is better than first strike.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is 1 mana. It gives things haste 2 and trample. It's a finisher. Mm-hmm. It lets you trade up your creatures. I think it's pretty good.
Maybe all the artifacts are good. Maybe they're all good.
You can move it around.
I think they're all playable. I think super gross that all the artifacts are
nothing
playable.
That makes
that
me,
is weird. That's normally not the case.
No, usually there's some real stinkers.
It's a weird situation. I don't think the equipments are that good.
Yeah.
But I think they're playable.
Because I would definitely also play that 4/4 flyer for 6.
You would?
I'm already paying that for frickin' that one
Horizon
Sphinx.
Chimera.
Yeah, and it's just like, if you already like the top 2 cards of your deck, like, it's the same card.
Yeah.
Also, he's made out of gold.
He's also adorable.
Maria's in the shit that
Maria
is made
Maria said
out of
he's
gold.
Adorable!
Oh,
are you betraying a bias, Maria?
I'm not saying anything yet.
Okay, guys, well, that's in the books. You now know the worst cards.
The worst cards in every color.
So at your pre-release, if you play one of these cards, I want you to slap yourself.
Yep. Please do.
I want you to slap it. I want you to slap yourself
with
the card. With
the card.
And send us a Vine of you doing so.
You can send it at MTAcast. I would love to see that.
I would love to see a Vine of you slapping yourself for playing a worst card in the color.
Oh my gosh. Please do this, you guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Also, if you, at the pre-release, manage to play all 5.
You've
all 5 worst cards.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're probably playing Chromanticore.
I'm probably playing Chromanticore.
Oh, that'd
that
be
is
so
the
funny.
Worst yeah. 5 color card.
You've, like, said. One life if you've done that.
Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drum roll on something.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's time for, excuse me, Maria's cutest card of Journey into Nyx.
Wow.
You may have noticed that Maria is extremely ill. That's because she has not slept.
I have not.
In weeks. She's been compiling data.
Oh. Yeah.
She's been
making
measuring,
the tough choices.
Developing metrics
yep.
for cuteness, like yes. how much... How much does a rounded nose count? How much does like...
How much like cuddle time?
Duck fuzz?
Can I get in with this card?
Yeah.
Can I cuddle it?
Like, does this fit in my cuddle crevice?
Oh my God, cuddle crevice.
No.
That's definitely one of my factors.
Is this card medically cute? Like, does it, would a doctor prescribe this card?
Cute.
For if somebody needed cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this
You know how sometimes a doctor will prescribe a baby? Like, you need to have a baby.
No, Ben, I do not know that.
The worst diagnosis I've ever heard. I know you have been hounding me about it.
It's a common practice, Maria.
All right. Jesus. Maria.
Okay.
We have so many contenders.
Thank you. This was by far the hardest set to pick the cutest card from.
Ooh, because of lack of options?
Because of excess of options.
Oh.
There are so many good cards that are cute in this set.
Do you ever think, like, as a metric, like, this is the card I would want to raise as a child?
My metric is kind of like, which card, when I'm looking through the pack, that even if it's bad, do I want to take it?
Like, it doesn't matter what the text on this card is.
Right. That's now,
You're talking about just the art.
Right, just the art.
You don't take into account the power and toughness.
No.
You don't think that, like, a 2.5,
the casting
two
cost,
is,
you
like,
don't take
cute,
into account
cute,
the casting cost.
It's kind of a cute...
You don't take into account the flavor text?
No. Okay. Right. No, none of it. It's just like if I'm paging through the pack and I'm like, oh man,
what
this
if,
guy's so
what
cute.
If it were hands down the
you
cutest
guys,
card?
You guys shut up and tell me the cutest card.
What if it were hands down the cutest card, but the flavor text had the word moist in it?
I'd still take it.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. By the way, is there flavor text with the word moist in it?
I will get back to you.
Thank you. Please look it up. So anyway, I'm going to name some runners up. Because there are so many good cards that were cute.
All right.
Runner-up is Golden Hind. That
Describe
is a runner-up.
He's real cute.
He's a little deer.
He's a little running deer.
And that's also a very good card, Golden Hind. Pretty cute, good card. That 4-4 flying Golden Ram, he is a runner-up.
Mm.
He is very cute.
Oh, he's very cute.
I want to say thank you to everybody on Twitter who also suggested cards for me, for my cutest card. This is now the first runner-up who... almost made cutest card. It is Mogus's Warhound. Is adorable. Both of those little pups chewing on some random severed thing.
Although,
super cute.
I have to say, every time I look at it, for some reason, it looks to me like the one dog is barfing fire.
It's adorable.
That's all that I see.
So cute.
Barfing fire.
But I could not excuse this card from being the cutest card. I just could not get it out of my head. Like, when I went to bed at night, I was still thinking of Sigiled Starfish. Cutest card. You guys, no. What do you mean no?
No.
What do you mean no?
No, oh, Maria. There are cuter cards.
If you gave birth to a sigil starfish, you would
send it back to the hospital.
No, I wouldn't. It's adorable.
Yes. Maria, it's fine. I don't know what your problem is here.
I agonized over that in Mogus's Warhounds, but I said if I'm looking through a pack and I see that stupid starfish, every time I'm going to want that starfish over those Warhounds.
Okay.
No. It's the Sphinx for me. It's the big muscly Sphinx in Hour of Need. That's cute.
You guys just accept it.
Ugh. I refuse.
It's the truth.
I refuse.
It's the truth.
All right. Well, There were a lot of close contenders for card that made me go, no, why?
Yeah.
I have to say the very, very close runner-up is Brain Maggot.
Ooh, Brain Maggot.
Why, you guys, why? And it's an enchantment. It's just going to stay there.
You're going to, and you're going to have to, like... You're going to have to, like, draw it off of your green card draw. You're going to need this in your green deck.
I just think it would be really funny. I wish it had Bestow, because I would want to bestow a maggot into somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I want to put this
Why?
Maggot in my mouth.
No.
Yeah.
But, you guys, I have to say, from the beginning, the card... that most makes me just want to cry and curl up into a little ball mm-hmm. or tear it into tiny pieces, put it through a paper shredder, is squelching leeches.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is a man covered in leeches?
It's a man.
I don't know why.
I feel like.
Or is it leeches that look like a man?
No, there's a man. There's his real arm. And he's struggling through the margins covered in leeches.
I think he put on a shirt of leeches.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he probably did.
I think he's like,
Megan, you would never survive back in the Middle Ages when they had to leech people.
No.
You would die from blood poisoning because you didn't get leeched out.
I didn't get leeched out. No.
Oh, Ben, I should have said a runner-up is that cockatrice because it is pretty cute.
Ooh, you're talking about the cockatrice.
Yeah, fleet feather cockatrice.
Fleet feather cockatrice.
Real cute.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cutest god?
Which god am I taking on a date?
Yeah. Which god are you trying to set up your brother-in-law with?
Why are you trying to set up your brother-in-law?
He is not right for your sister.
Oh, well, that's kind of true in my case. All right, I'm going to set him up with...
Yeah, this is not someone you want to be happy. Like, you're not trying to set up a good relationship. You're just trying to end another bad relationship.
Okay. I think anybody with having a relationship with Krufix is going to walk out of that scarred in some way.
Because of the extra hands?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Where are those hands? You know, when you're trying to spoon and you're like, where do I put my other hand? Krufix says, where do I put my other three hands?
It's also got to be hard to form a connection with someone who chooses to represent themselves as just like a
hole,
two-dimensional
an
image.
Empty hole. You can't ever touch him.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It does not, I do have to say though, it does not seem like Athreos got a passage knows how to touch a woman.
I would agree with
that. Yeah, he definitely.
I would agree with that.
Definitely does not.
All the way.
Like.
All the way.
There's going to be a lot of him slowly wrapping his hand around parts of your body.
And you're like, okay.
Okay.
And it feels kind of dry and spindly. Yeah.
No, Eros. It's like vaguely damp because he's crossing that river all the time. So it's like
moist,
vaguely damp
moist.
And spindly.
Now, on the other hand, Farika, god of affliction. She seems like a real snake charm.
Jesus. Eros, too. I mean, Eros is god of victory in bed, right?
God of victory in bed.
I'm just using the fortune cookie rule on the end of...
Indestructible.
Wait, in that
in
case...
bed.
In that case, Farika is god of affliction
in bed.
No, thank you.
Kronos deals 3 damage
in bed. God. If your creature would die in bed, Athreos gets it back.
All right. Well, we've issued our judgment.
Yep.
On Journey to Nyx. If you agree, do nothing. And if you disagree, do nothing.
If you disagree, you can let us know.
Oh, or if you agree, you can let us know.
You can contact us. By the tweets at MTAcast. You can send us an email at magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you, and we would love to have you follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, man.
Yay. You can listen to all our back episodes on magicTheAmaturing.com. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, MTGcast.com, and themeatery.org.
So many places to find us.
Yeah.
If you can't find us, it must be because you're not looking hard enough.
You know, you guys, we've got some great shows coming up for you in the coming weeks. I want a heads up. Heads up, you dudes. We're going to talk to our favorite judge.
Aww.
Judge Rob is going to be back on the show to help us out with some of these new cards in Journey into Nyx.
J-Ro's going to be here.
J-Ro's coming back.
J-Ro.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about GP Minneapolis. Everybody out there in listener land, buy your tickets now. Fly on into GP Minneapolis. We'll have a party.
Woo!
Yeah, we're going to do some hangouts.
Party!
That's right. And I just want to do a special teaser coming up in the future. We're going to do a special show all about magic art.
What?
Ooh, art.
Start getting hyped.
Yeah.
Hype it up. Hype it up.
Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us so much. I hope your journey into Nyx is a journey that you like.
I hope your journey into Nyx is a journey that you can return from if you so wish. and not a one-way trip.
Not like death or exactly. a tattoo.
Exactly.
Death or a tattoo. That was Benjamin Franklin's quote, wasn't it? Nothing's permanent in life except death and a tattoo.
A man who cannot stand death or tattoos deserves neither.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you, Benjamin Franklin.
Thank you, Benjamin Franklin.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Fare thee long well.